The Lord be with you.
And with
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus journeyed to a city called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd accompanied him. As he drew near to the gate of the city, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. A large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he was moved with pity for her and said to her, "Do not weep." He stepped forward and touched the coffin. At this, the bearers halted, and he said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." The dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, exclaiming, "A great prophet has arisen in our midst, and God has visited his people." This report about him spread through the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. The opening prayer in the Mass, we prayed that we would love God with all our heart. Beautiful prayer. Why don't we add also, not only with all our heart, but with all of our mind, soul, and strength. That can be our motto for today. In other words, place all the energy of our being to love God with every fiber of our being. That's why we're here. And if you try to do that, you're going to experience a lot of joy and peace. So let's pray for each other today, that this day we only have today, that we'll try to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, and all the fiber of our existence. Amen?
Amen?
Beautiful prayers in the Mass. Let's pray that we really live out these prayers that you prayed with me at the beginning of the Mass. Okay, the first reading, this one thought occurs to me. Let's pray for bishops. Pray for bishops. The bishop has what is called the fullness of the priesthood. There are three levels of holy orders. You heard two of them today. You heard praying for deacons and praying for bishops. And there's the other level in between the two that I have. It's called the presbytery. Because bishops have the fullness of the priesthood, and they wield a lot of power. They have a lot of power, a lot of responsibility over the people of God. Let's pray that they would always use that grace of office, the grace of the fullness of the priesthood, for the honor and glory of God and the salvation of souls. And I'd like to invite you to do this today. Pray for bishops, but pray for bishops through the bishops who have already been canonized saints. And if you give me permission, I'll mention a few. Some of my favorite saints. One of the greatest. Saint Alphonsus Maria Liguori. You read his life, you're just blown away. It's incredible what this man did. We're going to tell you one little episode in the life of one of the greatest bishops that has ever lived, who wrote the greatest Marian masterpiece in the history of the world. It's called The Glories of Mary. When he was already in his 60s and his health had already deteriorated, he didn't know he was going to live to be almost 91. The Holy Father said he wanted him to be a bishop. So St. Alphonsus was the founder of the Redemptorists. One of the most prolific writers in the history of the world is St. Alphonsus. And you pick up any of his books right away, you read it, and you know that this man was a saint. So the Pope asked him to be the Bishop of Santa Agata de' Goti, which is part of the Kingdom of Naples. And Alfonso said, I can't. I'm not well. I can't do it. And this is what the Pope said. Your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese. Could you say that your shadow is enough to sanctify your whole family? Good question, huh? Shadow. So just by being a bishop, because of his holiness, was enough to sanctify the whole diocese. And, of course, Alphonsus accepted the responsibility, and he started to work. What he would do was he would visit the parishes, and he would preach and teach the priests as well as the people. Let me give you another bishop. Another one of my favorites, St. Anthony Mary Claudet, the founder of the Claretians. He was asked by the Holy Father to be the Archbishop of Havana, Cuba. And he accepted. And like Alfonso Liguori, he just visited parish after parish after parish. One thing that he did was he would marry tons of couples that were just living in free union. What I do here on a limited way, he'd have group weddings of hundreds. But a real hunger and thirst for souls. Another bishop, his name is Saint Charles Borromeo. He died when he was about 20 years younger than me. Pretty young. I won't tell you my age, but he became one of the greatest bishops in the Catholic Church. He died in his 40s. And he did the same thing. He did the same thing that Claret did in Alphonsus. He would be visiting parishes. And he'd be preaching and teaching. So one of the primary responsibilities of the bishop is he is called to be a teacher. He has the fullness of the priesthood. I'll mention two more. Having lived in Philadelphia for 5 years, have any of you ever been to Philadelphia? Have any of you ever heard of Philadelphia? Okay, obviously, who was the greatest bishop in Philadelphia? St. John Neumann. Okay, not Cardinal Newman. St. John Neumann was the greatest bishop in the United States. Dropped dead on Vine Street at 49. And he also visited parishes, and he built many, many parishes. you ever go to Philadelphia, you have some of the most beautiful parishes in the country are in Philadelphia. Beautiful. But I'd like to mention one of the last. And I'm going to ask you to pray about this, because I think the devil is working overtime on this, what I'm going to be talking about. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. Did you ever hear of him? He's already venerable. I met him once in person. Thanks be to God. So, he's a modern saint. Now, we want to pray that he be beatified and canonized. Of all the bishops that I mentioned so far, these saints, they're great. But Sheen is, he's one of our own. Some of you who are my age or old, you saw him on TV. You heard him on radio. He was probably the most eloquent preacher in the world last century. I'm saying the world. John Paul II studied his English so that he'd be able to speak a good English. John Paul II met him in St. Patrick's Cathedral shortly before Sheen died. And if you read Treasures of Clay, you see the beautiful picture of John Paul II hugging Fulton Sheen and saying, "You have preached well. You're a noble son of the church." Sheen, I think, is an example for all priests and bishops today. He was highly educated. He had a photographic memory that we don't all have. And if you ever listen to his talks and his writings, he weaves everything into it. The biblical foundation, philosophy, literature, humor, he's got a good sense of humor, personal anecdotes. Any of you who are teachers or preachers or writers, Sheen is about the best you have out there. He's written tons of books. And you know, for some dumb reason, his process for beatification is blocked. His body's in New York. One of his relatives said, "Send it to Peoria, Illinois. We'll get him beatified there." So the devil is behind us. So let's pray that he'll be beatified and canonized, so that the American priests and bishops have a model. For me, he's my model. I can't even come close to Fulton Sheen in any way possible, but he's my model. I want to try to base my priesthood on his preaching and teaching, and he was the head of the whole missionary society of the whole church, delegated by Paul VI for many years. So I think we really have to pray. If he is canonized, beatified and canonized, I think this is going to sanctify all the bishops in this country, as well as the whole world, not to mention the priests. So one last idea about Fulton Sheen. Now, the very end of his life, when he was 75, according to canon law, at 75, a bishop has to send his request to the Holy Father to retire as bishop. That's canon law, which he did. So he retired as bishop. You know what he did the last 9 years of his life? He preached retreats. Guess to who? Priests and bishops. That was the last stage of his life. Now, a couple of you know Father Greg Staub. Very few know. Father Greg was here about 10 years ago. And Father Greg Staub is very sickly now. Pray for him. But Father Greg was looking for a seminary back in the 70s. And Father Greg actually, he talked to Fulton Sheen. Where should I go? And Fulton Sheen said, I cannot recommend any seminary in the United States. Father Greg was ordained 2 years before me, and he's a year younger than me. Guess where we went to study? We went to study in Rome. We studied at the Angelicum, where John Paul II studied. And Fulton Sheen, he knew what was going on in the country more than anyone else. He said, I cannot recommend any seminary in the whole country. And I have to give another hour talk, but it was infested by a subculture of homosexuality. Let's call a spade a spade. You don't believe me? Read the book, Goodbye, Good Men by Michael Rose. Okay, read that book. Okay, Goodbye, Good Men by Michael Rose. Now, Sheen maybe didn't tell Father Greg Staub that that was the problem, but that was one of the key problems, is that homosexuality had infiltrated itself within the church. Because the clergy abuse is not abusing children, it's homosexuality. Let's call a spade, huh? That's the problem. So the bishop is very important. Very important. He's the one that's responsible for the seminary, for the priests, for the parishes. And this is what Fulton Sheen would say in all of his retreats. He would say this to the bishops and the priests. You know, when you preach, people sometimes don't listen to you. When I preach, people listen to me. And that wasn't pride. It was the truth. And he said, because of the hour of power. The hour of power. What is that? What am I promoting here for 11 years in my program? The holy hour. The only way we're going to change the world is when we fall in love with Jesus Christ. So we really have to pray for bishops. Pray and fast, offer up sacrifices. Avoid the criticism. Pray and support the bishops. So in this Mass, I'm going to be praying for Archbishop Gomez, all the Bishop Barron, who's doing a great job in his preaching. You know, there are a lot of good bishops here in L.A. and the regions of L.A. Let's pray for them. We are in the biggest diocese in the country, huge diocese. And I feel that this diocese is very pivotal for the future. So let's pray for the bishops and pray for the priests. So many souls at stake, my friends. So many souls. And a lot depends upon the holiness of the bishops. So let's turn to these saintly bishops to pray for the bishops that are living now, that they would have a great desire to follow in the footsteps of the saints. Amen.